Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. God does not play favorites. His grace is offered to all. Today, Pastor Gregory Seltz talks about runners who win the race by finishing last.
Jesus could have picked you off. He had every right to. But instead, he picked you up. He shows no partiality. His love is for all the same. When you were dead in your sins, he stopped to give you his life. That's how he loves you. And that kind of love can change a critical heart. That's the kind of kindness that can make a difference in another's life.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message titled, Overcoming a Sinfully Critical Heart. Today's sermon is based on the epistle reading appointed for the 15th Sunday of Pentecost from James chapter 2. Now, here's Pastor Gregory Seltz.
My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Jesus Christ, who empowers you by faith to cross the finish line of life, victorious in him. Amen. High school track runner Megan Vogel had just won the 1600-meter, the metric mile, Division III track title at the Ohio State meet in a personal best time of 4 minutes, 58.31 seconds. Now, for those of you who don't run, that's pretty fast. But a mere 1 hour later, she told the starting line for the 3200-meter, the metric 2-mile contest. Well, she didn't have a lot left. Fatigued from the earlier all-out effort, Megan started to fall off the pace early in the race. Megan's mother, Anne, who is also her track coach, watched as Megan fell further behind with each lap, eventually stuck in last place. Now, no one would question her effort this day. After all, she was only a junior. This was the state meet, and she had earlier won the metric mile. But she was a competitor, and she had never, ever finished last in a race, ever. So as Megan rounded the final turn, she spotted another runner faltering ahead of her. There was no doubt in Megan's mind that she could catch her and pass her. The other runner's legs were buckling. She looked tired. Megan thought, I can pick her off. You know, that's how runners describe the effort of overtaking someone when it counts. So with a champion's effort, she knew that she wasn't going to finish last on this day either. But as Megan Vogel entered the final stretch of that race, she did something no one had ever seen before. She didn't pick off that faltering runner, no. She did something amazing. Noticing that the runner wasn't just faltering, but actually was falling, buckling to the track, instead of blowing past her, she stopped and picked her up. She took her arm, placed it over her shoulder, lifted the runner from the ground, and began to help her to the finish line. The crowd went wild with cheers and encouragement. Focused on completing the race for both of them, Megan virtually carried her competitor to the end. People had tears in their eyes as they watched this act of kindness and unselfishness. And then, just as they reached the finish, Megan gently steered her competitor ahead of her across the finish line. At that moment, her competitive instincts were turned on their head. The girl she helped was no longer her adversary, just someone in need. And in this particular race, that was the most important thing of all. People could not believe their eyes. Megan didn't just help her finish. She also suffered the fate of finishing last in a race for the first time in her track career. But incredibly, people didn't see it that way that day. In their eyes, she finished first in both races. Passing runners in a race is part of what track events are all about. If no one ever wins, well, eventually, no one watches either. But Megan's effort made us realize that there are things in life bigger than races at times. Picking someone off, leaving people in your dust, that might work in athletic events, but that's no way to live life. when people are faltering, when they appear to be weaker or different or not what we're used to, we can be tempted to pass them by, leave them behind, or even cruelly push them aside. If you feel bruised and pushed aside today, dear listener, hear the message of the Bible today, the message of eternal life, the message that gets you to the finish line of this life's race and the starting line of the eternal race to come. Know that God Himself, Jesus your Savior, doesn't pass you by. In your hardship, when you feel like an outsider, your Savior is there to help you, listen to you, and care for you. He knows your struggle. He's the one who, when it counted most, gave His life for you, rose from the dead for your eternal life, and even now never lets you go. Your life is precious to Him. That's why the Apostle James encourages believers in Jesus to show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. He goes on to say, "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'You sit at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" James hits the nail on the head. Christ's people are to live this life differently, with His eternal perspective on things. But we're more often not the kind of people who pick up others when they're down. We tend to pile on or to pick them off for our own purposes. One person's misery is another person's opportunity, some say. But James chides us all. We're not to be judges, critics, with evil thoughts. Critics with evil thoughts don't judge you for your sake. They tend to judge you for their sake. They tend to use your weaknesses and struggles against you. And if we're honest, most of us tend towards being hurtful critics, too. Are you ever surprised at how easy it is to speak a critical or negative word about somebody? This tendency may be fueled by our desire to feel good about ourselves or to build ourselves up, and we accomplish that by tearing others down. Whatever causes it, the Bible tells us today that this sinful inclination is wrong and has no place in the life of a follower of Christ. In today's reading, James warns about playing favorites and looking down on people based on their appearance or status. As Christ's people, we are to show no partiality in dealing with people. The word partiality conveys the meaning of seeing people only on the surface, making quick judgments based on what we see, in effect judging a book solely by its cover. When you see someone merely from their outward appearance, it's so easy to become unjustly critical toward that person. If someone speaks differently or has a different skin color than you do, you may cast a falsely critical eye their way. But God's Word tells us that faith and false favoritism do not belong together. The sin of partiality can destroy lives. The hurt caused by a critical spirit, the devastation that results from putting yourself first and leaving others behind, it breaks God's heart too. That's why the verses from James chapter 2 go on to say, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it." So has a critical spirit invaded your heart in some way, dear friend? Don't ignore it. Don't excuse it. The condition of your heart and the way you treat others are important to God. But what can you do? If you are trapped in playing false favorites toward people, how can you be rescued from that hurtful pattern? How can you be delivered from meanness or unjust discrimination? How can you look at people with love instead of selfishness? Look at them with compassion instead of biting criticism? The power to live the Christian life is the same power that makes you a Christian in the first place. It's God's love, graciously given and graciously received by faith in the person and work of Jesus for you, empowering you to live His way for others. If you're going to try to love others in His name, it's vital to see just how loved you are by Him alone. The Apostle James says it this way, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him?" He reminds those struggling with sinful partiality to never forget just how graciously they are loved. He called them beloved by God's gracious choice. And yes, you and I too are beloved people as a gift of grace. You're a person loved by God. He chose you, poor in spirit, faltering in faith, broken by sin, immobilized by a critical heart. He chose you in Christ because of Christ's work for you on the cross. He chose you to be an heir of the kingdom, to receive the prize of life everlasting. You see, Jesus could have picked you off. He had every right to. But instead, he picked you up. He shows no partiality. His love is for all the same. When you were dead in your sins, he stopped to give you his life. That's how he loves you. And that kind of love can change a critical heart. That's the kind of kindness that can make a difference in another's life. When Megan helped that other runner finish the race, it moved all who watched. Here was a champion who was willing in this race to face the humiliation of finishing last so that another could finish at all. While the medical staff tended to the fatigued runner, people with tears running down their faces stood on their feet to pay tribute to a remarkable act of love and kindness. Gracious love changes things. But an even greater change for the world occurred because of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for the sins of the world, he was willing to take every person's eternal last place so that all could have his eternal first place. God is the kind of God who hates that this world falters. He hates that sin has left us beaten, bruised, and battered. He's the kind of God who comes to save in his Son, Jesus Christ, alone. Jesus doesn't wish to pick you off. He doesn't wish to leave you up to your own devices. He's here to pick you up. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." This is God's amazing plan. In the most important contest of your life, because of Jesus Christ, you are no longer God's enemy or adversary. Your guilt and sin have been paid for. Your faltering life and soul have been lifted up by God's grace. Jesus claims you as friend. The Bible declares the good news in Romans 5, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that kind of love can change your life. It can overcome a critical spirit, a false partiality, and make you a conduit of Christ's merciful love to others in need. That's what Megan witnessed in the medical tent. She found changed lives. Her fellow runner was receiving fluids and getting rest as she recovered from heat exhaustion and dehydration. Megan stopped in to be treated for some dizziness and nausea too. But when the runner and coach saw Megan, it wasn't merely a good race greeting from competitors. It was two simple yet powerful words for her: thank you. They would never forget this day either. Our Bible reading from James emphasizes that the kindness of Jesus Christ changes a believer's whole outlook on life. Faith is not simply a matter of words. It is lived out in action. The love of Christ changes you. As a baptized new creation in Christ Jesus, you show the love of Christ by your word and by your actions. A heart of stone is replaced by a heart of faith. A critical spirit is replaced with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Out of gratitude for Jesus' eternal gracious help, with a thankful heart for the rescue of your Savior, you now get to live out that faith in showing kindness to others. James knows that we're saved by grace alone through faith, but he also knew that such faith is alive. It can't help but be put to work with deeds of love towards others. When he says faith without works is dead, he's saying, let your faith show in works of love for others. That's the message for today. For your faith is not some testimony to your self-righteousness or to your religious accomplishments or to some self-earned confidence or esteem. No, it's a testimony of how Christ is everything for you in the ups and downs of this world, that Jesus is sufficient, not just for you, but for all. Let your faith show by being a person who doesn't pick off others, but picks them up so that they can be all that God intended them to be just because they got to know you. Let your faith show at home, for your family needs to see the love of Jesus through you. It's true that sometimes family can be more frustrating than many other relationships, but even as you're fatigued in the long race of life, you have a chance to put aside meanness and compassionately lift up your spouse or your children, your brothers or your sisters, even your parents. In your prayers today, ask God how you might show the friendship of Jesus to your family today. Let your faith show. In school, too. You can see the bullying, the destructive peer pressure that pushes even good kids around. Be a person of faith and courage in the midst of such things. Do what is right from God's perspective for others, period. Show the power of an encouraging spirit in a discouraging world and see what God can do in your life for others. Let your faith show, even at work. Be the kind of person who strives for excellence, who does the job, but who also treats others as God desires, even when competing for the sale. When people see that you strive for excellence, not just for excellence's sake, but to honor God and to serve others, such a spirit even blesses the day-to-day work you do. You see, this reading from the book of James digs deeply into our hearts, calling us to rid our lives of any seed of unkindness and mistreatment of people for whom Jesus gave his life. As God's people, let's put an end to partiality, especially for the sake of our testimony to the gospel. Let's do away with the blight of racism and bullying among ourselves. Let's follow our Savior's example and put bickering, negativity, and selfishness aside as we walk in his footsteps of love, humility, and self-sacrifice. When Megan Vogel acted kindly on the track that day in Columbus, she simply said, "I don't consider myself a hero. I just did what I knew was right, what I was supposed to do." She was shocked by all the attention given to such a simple gesture. I love that. She was shocked by all the attention. May we be the kind of people who, when we do what we know is right for others, even if it costs us much, let's be the kind of people who would be shocked by all the attention, too. The power for living a life that overcomes a sinfully critical, falsely partial heart is the power of God's love in Christ received by faith. James says his love covers a multitude of sins. His kindness overcomes even the most critical of spirits, and his mercy strengthens even the weakest of us not to pass by, but to pick up another when they need it most. And when people see you live your life that way, they will see the beautiful blessing of Christ's compassion, not just for you, but for them too. They'll be reminded of how precious life is in the eyes of God. Their hearts will be touched as they remember what really matters. And partiality will fade as you reach out with the friendship of Jesus Christ. Now that's a finish line I want to cross with you today, tomorrow, and when we see our Savior face to face. Amen.
I will, Lord, hear my till death.
The hymn of the day is based on Psalm 146. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. In that recording, we heard vocalist Jenny Mosky. You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. Faith and reason are not mutually exclusive. Read our new free booklet, Discover 7 Reasons Why It's Logical to Believe the Claims Christians Make Concerning Jesus, the Bible, and the Truth Upon Which Christians Stake Their Very Lives. Author Stephen Hauer says Christianity is a faith based in history. He shows how ancient sources and archaeological evidence corroborate the claims of Scripture, how Old Testament prophecies point to Christ, how the physical world, morality, and the willing martyrdom of Jesus' disciples all speak to the reality of God and make faith reasonable. For a free copy of the booklet, Reasons to Believe, call the Lutheran Hour toll-free 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the good news of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. Your ongoing support makes this ministry possible. Your prayers and gifts help us bring the message of God's grace to people throughout the world. Please pray for God's continued blessings upon this work and consider making a gift as you are able. Call 1-855-JOHN-3-16 or visit our website, LutheranHour.org. Or write The Lutheran Hour, 660 Mason Ridge Center Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63141. With your continued faithful support, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Pastor Gregory Seltz responds to questions from listeners. I'm Mark Eicher. Listener asks, what to do about a daughter who's being bullied at school, and that bullying includes texting and messages on social networks. It's hurting her feelings. What can a parent do about that?
Well, first of all, I'm really sorry to hear that, Mark. You know, technology can be a blessing, but the proliferation of communication methods can also do harm. Texting and social networking sites have become fertile ground for treating people poorly today.
What makes these technological developments so ripe for abuse?
Well, one reason is the fact that people feel a sense of anonymity or a certain sense of a safe distance from their victims. Mm. It's easy and not very threatening, at least initially, to fire off a critical or hurtful electronic message, but the hurt is still very real.
And what can you do about that kind of bullying?
Well, the questioner mentioned that these are classmates from school. The first step is for a parent to contact the parents of the children who are being hurtful. In a calm and level-headed way, she should share what's going on. Most parents of those other students would want to know if their kids are crossing the line. It also may be very important to bring the behavior to the attention of the teacher and the school administrator. Sometimes the text or social media messages are sent from the school setting. So all of this should be done in a caring way, trying to teach the students God-honoring behavior.
What else could a parent do when bullying becomes an issue?
Well, it's so important that parents assure their children of God's love. No matter what the world says, no matter what classmates, even friends say, every person is precious, a precious child of God, purchased and won with the blood of Jesus Christ. Kids need to know that God's love is strong and dependable no matter what troubles or adversity come their way, even when those troubles come from other kids.
Certainly a lot of complications and distractions in this digital age.
There sure are, and that's why it's very important for parents to lead the way in helping their children to establish boundaries in the area of technology. You know, a first simple step is waiting as long as practically possible before your kids get connected to the digital onslaught. I know there's a lot of peer pressure out there to have a cell phone right away, but young children usually don't need them. And if they do, they certainly don't need unlimited access to the internet or nonstop texts. It's so helpful when parents let kids be kids. So instead of rushing into a life of constant connection, it is a blessing to let kids play, relax, and connect first in quality relationships. When kids understand what life is really all about, then they'll be able to establish boundaries for media connections.
What other safeguards could parents implement?
Well, once a child is connected, it's important for parents to monitor a child's media activity. They need to read those text messages. They need to have rules for where the phone can be and when. They need to have passwords to those social media sites and check them regularly. They need to have computer safeguards set up.
Starting to sound like a big job.
Well, it is, but it's an important one. Perhaps the most important task of being a parent, however, is to model a healthy and balanced life in this electronic age. Mom and dad need to show their children they can put the cell phone down. They can spend time away from the computer, that they value conversations and relationships, not just being connected to cyberspace.
And it's also important that parents model what it means to be a faithful child of God for emotional strength.
Exactly. You know, as the world opens more doors to bullying and destructively mean behavior, Christian parents need to learn how to effectively stop such behavior, but they also need to teach the other way to treat people, you know, how to live kind, mercied lives both digitally and in person. The church needs to teach and support children and adults as to how to use these new methods of communication as well. As I've said, bullying, of course, is not to be tolerated, but it must be replaced with the compassion and kindness of Jesus Christ. All of us are called to demonstrate that love in our words, our actions, our behavior, in person as well as online.
Very good. Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.